Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. The beginning of what we'll be looking at is to look at the seriousness of sin and look at God's judgment on sin and look at the consequences of sin that we experience as God's people, the sufferings that God's people experience because of sin in their lives, the sufferings that we experience here in this world. God chastens those that He loves. And when we sin, and sin is the transgression of the law, sin is when God tells us to do something and we don't do it, or God tells us not to do something and we do it, that's sin. Sins of omission and sins of commission are very serious. Sin is serious to God. And sin ought to be serious to us. We ought to run from sin like we would run from some plague that would destroy our lives, because sin will destroy our lives. The devil deceives us into thinking sometimes that we don't have sin in our lives. Sometimes the devil makes us think that, well, the sin that we have is not that major. Everybody sins, and we're all sinners, so we sometimes accept sin in our lives. We give place to the devil. We allow things that we ought not to allow. So please look at God's Word now as we begin looking at the seriousness of sin and God's judgment on sin and the consequences in the lives of God's people when they allow sin in their lives. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, the Word of God says, "And the Lord God commanded the man," that's Adam, "saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof thou shalt surely die." God told him, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told him what was going to happen if he did that. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now the word death or die has various meanings in the Word of God. Sometimes there is a natural death. The word death always means separation. Natural death is when our natural life leaves the natural body. That's a physical death. But we can experience a soul death when we are separated from fellowship with God. We lose fellowship with God. That's a death that we can experience. And God's children are often warned about experiencing a soul death. And we, as God's people who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God has redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit, but God will not let us, our soul, have fellowship with Him while we live in this world if we're going to allow and condone and overlook sin in our lives. God told Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam did not die a natural death that day, but Adam did die that day. He died. He was separated from fellowship with God. He did what God told him not to do. If you come down to verse 6 of the next chapter, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Adam did what God told him not to do. And Adam then was driven out of the Garden of Eden and was separated from that intimate fellowship that he had been having with God. Adam died in the day that he sinned. The Scripture says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It's not just true of Adam, but it's true of all of us. We will experience a death when we sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. Death comes when sin is in our lives. Separation from God is experienced by the people of God when they sin. Now, Adam and Eve, I've already mentioned, were driven out of the Garden of Eden. That wasn't the only ones that were affected by the sin that Adam committed. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says that by one man, that was Adam, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And then the scripture says, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I want us to understand that because of the sin of Adam, all of us are sinners by nature. We inherit that nature from our natural father, Adam. Every human being that has ever lived on the face of this earth is a descendant of the man we're reading about right here. Adam was the first man. God formed him out of the dust of the ground. God breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And every descendant of Adam is a sinner because of the nature of Adam was passed down to us. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men because of this sin of Adam right here. And we all have sinned. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see the seriousness of sin? Do you see God judging sin? Did God drive them out of the garden? Yes, he did. Now turn one page in your Bible to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to just look at maybe two or three different examples in the Word of God in the Old Testament of God about the seriousness of sin. And listen, brethren, some people have the mistaken idea today that everything's different in the New Testament. Everything's different under grace. I'll tell you, brethren, the only thing that's different is God requires more of us today than he did of those in the Old Testament. You follow God's word and you'll see that. In Genesis chapter 6, I want you to see that after Adam had sinned, and sin, if you go through Genesis chapter 4, after we read in Genesis chapter 3 about the sin of Adam, do you find sin in Genesis chapter 4? Yes. You come right on down to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Now this, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, this is about, it's about 1,650 years after what we read about in Genesis chapter 3. The flood came about 1,600 years after Adam sinned. Sin grew. Sin began to abound. And the Word of God says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. God, who created man, and as they had begun to grow and there were many people on the face of the earth, God says, I'm going to destroy man. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. And God began to tell Noah to build an ark. And Noah built that ark. And Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives, eight people, is all that was saved from the judgment of God on this earth. The whole world was destroyed by a flood. This is the second time that the earth was covered with water. The earth was covered with water back there in Genesis chapter 1, and God caused the dry land to appear. And then after God had created the world and created man, put him on the earth, then in Genesis chapter 6, God covered the earth with a flood again, and every person on this earth was destroyed by that flood except those eight. What caused the flood? Sin. Who sent the flood? God did. Brethren, there are so many people today that have no fear of God. They do not know the God of the Bible. I want you to know that God has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that hated sin back there in Genesis chapter 3 and hated sin in Genesis chapter 6, he still hates sin today. And God is still a jealous God, and God is still a consuming fire, and God still will not allow you as his child, whom he has redeemed by the blood of his precious son, God will not allow you to continue in sin without bringing judgment in your life. We're going to be going rather quickly this morning, but I beg you in the name of Christ that you would pray, God, help me to see what you're saying to me today. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, The Word of God says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin, their sin is very grievous." Brethren, I want you to know there's a difference in the seriousness of sin. All sin is serious, but I want you to know that there are some sins that God requires the death penalty for. There are some sins that God says that He will not forgive. There are some sins that you and I, as God's people, we need to understand there are very serious consequences that come because of sin in our lives. And the sin that was going on in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah was the sin that we call today, we call it homosexuality. And it was abounding in those two cities. And it's beginning to abound in America today. And the same God who judged Sodom and Gomorrah, He will judge our nation in the same way. In Genesis 18, verse 20, He says that because their sin was very grievous. Verse 21, God says, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know." Come down to Genesis 19. After God had seen the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah, in Genesis 19, listen please to verses 24 and 25. The Word of God says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." Listen, brethren, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire. Now, where did that fire come from? It came from heaven. It came from God. God sent this fire. Some people say, "Well, no, the God I serve wouldn't destroy people by drowning them." Well, the God of the Bible does. And some people say, "Well, the God that I believe in, He wouldn't destroy people by burning them." Well, the God of the Bible did. The God of the Bible hates sin. You and I better pay attention to the seriousness of sin and the consequences of sin that we as God's people experience here in this world. It's horrible. Go to 2 Samuel. We've mentioned the whole world. Well, we started out with just one man and one woman, Adam and Eve. And their sin brought death upon all men. And then we looked at Genesis chapter 6, where God destroyed the whole world with a flood because of sin. Then we looked at Genesis chapter 18 and 19, where God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of sin. Now come, let's look at one individual in the Old Testament. And then we want to go to the New Testament. Look in your Bibles at 2 Samuel. Please look at 2 Samuel. I want you to see the seriousness of sin. I want you to see God's judgment on sin. I want you to see the consequences that we will have in our lives when we walk in willful disobedience to the teachings and commandments of God. And I know I'm reading far more scriptures than I normally do, but it's important that you hear the word of the Lord. 2 Samuel 12, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God says, "Wherefore," this is God speaking to David, "wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house." Do you hear what God said to David right here? Did you know that as long as David lived, he was continuously plagued by this sin that he had committed? As long as he lived, God said, "The sword will never depart from your house." What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about the hell that David went through because of his sin? What's the first thing that stands out? His son died. Now, we'll come down to verse 14. That's what it says. "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely," what? "Die." Do you believe that God would take away your child because of sin in your life? Let me tell you something, brethren. God will do that. God will do that. It is a serious thing to minimize sin in our lives. That's not all that happened to him. Back up to verse 10. "Now for the sword shall never depart from thine house." Verse 11. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house." Did you know David's son rose up against him and desired to kill him? David saw the death of his son. David saw the death of several. He saw the death of several of his children. You know why? Because of sin. And then he says, "And I will take." Now I wonder,
who this is that says, I will raise up evil against thee. I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Who is it that's doing all of these things to David? It's God. God is love. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. David was a man after God's own heart, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. But brethren, that sin plagued him the rest of his life. Well, maybe Jesus is different. You know, I have people tell me that quite often. Well, you know, you're talking about the God of the Old Testament. I just like to hear the words of Jesus. Well, let's look at the words of Jesus, because I want you to know Jesus is God. And Jesus was back there when the world was destroyed by the flood. And Jesus was there when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And Jesus was there when David began to experience all the hell he experienced. The Bible says that Jesus says, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. You know who carries out all judgment, Old and New Testament? You know who carries that judgment out? Jesus. And very little is known about the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus that a lot of people hear about today is a Jesus that wants to do something if you'll let him. And he's trying to do something, and he just can't do it unless you'll let him. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Matthew chapter 5, let's listen to some of the words of Jesus about sin. And I want you to know that the main sins that Jesus concentrates on are not adultery, homosexuality, and abortion, and things like that. The main sin that Jesus concentrates on and carries out severe judgment for is God's people who have stopped all of those things, but then they are not actively doing the things that they should. I've seen children of God that I love with all my heart. I've seen them be so faithful that they're in the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I see them just gradually just back up, back away, slack off. Let me tell you something, brethren. God will judge his people when they back away from the Lord and faithfulness to God. That's called sins of what? Omission. As we go through some of these things about what Jesus is going to do, I want you to notice every one of them is because they stopped being what they're supposed to be. Matthew 5, verse 13. He makes a beautiful statement in Matthew 5:13 to his disciples. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. You know who made you the salt of the earth and quickened you and lifted you up and put his spirit in you? And now you are the salt of the earth, and you have all these abilities and talents and gifts to serve the Lord and to please God. And God's given you all of that. And he says now, you are the salt of the earth. Wonderful statement he made there, but he didn't stop there. There's not even a period there. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, that is, if it's lost its usefulness, if it's lost its ability to have influence for good, if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, Jesus says you're the salt of the earth. But if you stop being faithful to God, you stop being the salt of the earth, you stop being worth something in your influence for good in this world, you're good for what? You're good for nothing. Anybody ever been told you're good for nothing? You ever been told you're good for nothing? Well, that's what Jesus said. If we've lost our Savior, we're good for nothing. But to be, watch the wording. It's amazing how harmonious God's word is. Good for nothing, but to be, what are the next two words? Cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, those are two pretty serious things. Number one is to be cast out. Number one is to be told good for nothing. Number two is to be cast out. Number three is to be trodden under the foot of men. Did you know that's what happens to God's people when they turn their backs on God? They're going to become a castaway. They're going to be cast out. Go with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, we read about the 5 2-1 talent servants. Don't have time to cover Matthew 25:14 through 30, But I do encourage you to read those when you get home today. The whole parable there is about the kingdom of heaven, as is every parable in this chapter, as is every parable in the New Testament. Every parable is about the kingdom of heaven, not about the eternal heaven, about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is something God has prepared for His obedient children here in this world. And Jesus is judging you and me according to our works. And when our works please Jesus, we get to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when our works do not please Jesus, we're cast out and we're trodden under the foot of men. And it gets worse than that, as we'll see. Matthew 25, after he tells us about the kingdom of heaven, is in verse 14. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants." And are you a servant of Jesus? He called you. He called you from death to life. And now you're his servant. And he has delivered unto you his goods. God's given you some things. They're in you. And he delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Now this king came back. This man came back. It's Jesus Christ. He came back and he began to judge his servants while they were still living in this world. Not a judgment. This is not about a judgment at the end of the time world. This is Christ judging his people according to their works while they live here in this world. He came back into the 5-talent servant who had gained 5 more talents. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And to the 2-talent servant who had gained... what did he say do? Left almost the most important part. What's this parable about? Tell me what's the parable about. Parable's about the kingdom of heaven. What did Jesus tell this 5-talent servant when he had gained 5 more talents? He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Now, the joy, what is the kingdom of heaven? It is, in Romans 14:17, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You can experience joy if you'll obey God. If you serve God, God in His grace still, it's by His grace that you even have the ability to serve Him. It's by His grace you've been called His servant. It's by His grace you've been quickened. It's by His grace He's given you these talents. Now, if you use those talents to His honor and glory, you'll enter into the kingdom of heaven. But if you don't, you're not just shut out of the kingdom of heaven. There's something that happens. Come down in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. We're talking about sin, about God's judgment of sin. We're talking about the consequences of sin. Matthew 25 and verse 30, the Word of God says, "And cast ye," this is the 1-talent servant, "and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Cast the unprofitable servant into what? Outer darkness. Now, what happened to the salt over there? You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. He says here about this 1-talent servant, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." Not just darkness. Did you know there are different degrees of punishment God has for His people? "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then he talks about... And by the way now, the first parable in this chapter is about the 10 virgins, and those 10 virgins were not out committing adultery. What were the 10 virgins not doing? It's sins of omission all the way through here. The 5 foolish virgins, what were they not doing? They were not letting their light shine. You remember, they had not prepared. They had partially prepared, but they had not prepared to meet the bridegroom. They stopped before the bridegroom got there. Jesus said to one man, "You're not far from the kingdom of heaven." How close are you? How far are you? And then the 1-talent servant, he wasn't committing adultery and things like that. It was just that he had not used the 1 talent that God had given him, hadn't used it. And then we come to Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. 31 through 46, the Word of God says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me." You see what he's doing? What are all these people doing? What are they doing? They're not doing anything bad, but what are they doing that's good? They're serving the Lord. That's right. They're helping people. They're loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're loving their neighbor as themselves. They're out doing things to help people, aren't they? But there were goats on the left hand that did not enter into this kingdom, but rather were cast into a fire. And that fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. And one day the devil and his angels are going to be in that fire. But God's people can live in that hell here on this earth. In Matthew chapter 25, listen to verse 41. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." They're not put there for everlasting. They're cast into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. "For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not." What are these, all these sins? What are these sins? Sins of what? Sins of omission. How busy are, you know, Jesus was busy about his Father's business. The Apostle Paul was a busy man. And if we're not busy about our Father's business, but we're busy about our own business and our own lives, and we're ignoring the people all around us, I want you to know that sin, and I want you to know God's going to judge that sin, the sins of omission. And I want you to know it's hell on earth. Serious judgment comes to God's people who don't do what God tells them to do. Go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27. The Word of God says, "For if we sin..." What are we looking at? What's the subject? What's the main three letters that we're looking at this morning? Sin. "If we sin willfully..." Do you know what willful sin is? That is when I know I'm supposed to be doing good, but I don't do it. That's willful sin. "That is when I know I'm not supposed to do something, and I do it anyway. That's willful sin. And if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment." Who's the judgment going to come from? It's going to come from God. It's going to come from Jesus. "A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the..." Fiery indignation. What happened back there in Matthew 25? Fiery indignation. Fiery judgment. What happened on Sodom and Gomorrah? Fiery judgments. All through the Bible, you'll read not only about literal fire, fiery judgments, you'll also read about fiery trials. The fiery judgments come in the lives of God's people when they walk contrary to His Word. But even God's obedient children sometimes have to experience fiery trials. Now, still in Hebrews 10, look at verses 30 and 31. He says, "For we know him that has said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge..." What are the last two words there? His people. And we're going to talk about them in just a minute. His people. We're talking about a people so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. We're talking about the people that God chose before the foundation of the world and predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. The ones that Jesus Christ died for and He redeemed. He accomplished what He came to do. And they're the ones that will be with God forever in that eternal heaven. It's not a few. It's many. Multitude of people. They're as the stars of heaven. They're as the sands of the seashore. They're as the dust of the earth. But God says not only has He saved His people from their sins, God says He will... Give me the three words. He will judge His people. Verse 31 says, and brethren, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, no matter who wrote it, let me tell you this. The writer of this epistle knew it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you're a child of God, you've probably been in some hell here on this earth. If you're a child of God, you probably have experienced some of the fiery judgments of God. And you can stand up and testify today that hell on this earth is horrible. To not have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, to have major conflicts, trouble, heartache, hell on earth. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, we preach all about sin so far. Sin, the seriousness of sin, God's judgment of sin. Do you know why Jesus suffered so much on the cross of Calvary? It was because of sin. It was because of God's judgment of sin. Calvary shows the seriousness of the consequences of sin. And all the suffering that Jesus experienced, it was not because of a single sin he'd ever committed. All of the suffering that Jesus went through all of his life, and all the suffering he went through at Calvary, it was because of my sin and your sin and the sins of all the family of God. Our sins were placed on him. And eternally speaking, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," when Jesus died, when Jesus had shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, he saved his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21 tells us his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Did you know the only reason that you or me or any other person will ever be in the eternal heaven is because of what Jesus has done for us? It's the amazing grace and mercy and love of God. Your sins placed on Jesus. He who knew no sin, he became sin for us. And in that moment when all of our sins were placed on Jesus, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God will not look on sin. The only reason he can look at you is because he looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only reason you have any blessings in this world is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The only reason you'll be in the eternal heaven is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not of our works, not by our works, not according to our work. It's the amazing love and mercy and grace of God. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, that's the only answer you've got for sin, is Jesus paid it all. Now, if you take that truth that Jesus paid it all, and you use that as an excuse to continue in sin, God will punish you worse than somebody who had never known about Jesus. So if you know about Jesus, but then you sin anyway, and you turn your back on God, and you backslide, and you get away from God, understand, God, who loved you so much that he gave his son for you, God will carry out fiery judgments in your life here in this world. Now, Hebrews 10 is talking about people who sin willfully, but I want you to know that there are times in our lives that some people have done things terribly wrong, and they did not know it was sin. And Jesus says, that servant which knew his Lord's will and committed such sins, that servant's going to be beaten with many stripes. And that servant which knew not his Lord's will and sinned, that servant will be beaten with few stripes. So let me say first of all to any of you that have sin in your past. I'm not talking about sin you're currently involved in. I'm talking about sin in your past. I urge you to do what God tells you to do. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever confessed your sins? Have you ever repented and confessed and fallen at the feet of Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on me"? Have you ever been like that man in Luke 18 where the Pharisee and the publican went up into the temple to pray, and the publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven but smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? If you haven't ever been there, you need to go there. You need to be there. Have you ever felt like the prodigal son, that you came to yourself? I hope every one of us come to ourselves today. I hope every one of us will see some sin in our lives today, and that we will come to ourselves and we will do like the prodigal son. And from our heart, we can truthfully say, if you see sin in your life, you can truthfully say, just like the prodigal son, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. That's the way I feel today. I am no more worthy to be called God's son. I am not worthy. Jacob said, I am not worthy in Genesis 32:10. He says, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. I am not worthy. The Apostle Paul declared he was not worthy to be an apostle. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom, he didn't say I was chief. He said, of whom I am chief. Do you know why the Apostle Paul would say, I am the chief of sinners? Even after he was converted on the road to Damascus, even after he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, even after he began to follow Christ as closely, probably, as any man has ever walked the face of this earth. Do you know why he would say, I am the chief of sinners? It's because the closer you get to Christ, the more you'll see what a sinner you are every day. You're still falling short until you can honestly, truthfully say, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Let me be one of your servants. I don't want to be put on a pedestal. I just want to be one of your servants. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Not worthy to sit at your table. I'm not worthy to be a part of the church. Just let me be one of your servants. And when you get there, the Father will, he'll greet you. He'll run out and greet you. And he'll put his arms around you. And he'll put a robe on you. And he'll call his friends together and say, This my son was dead and is alive again. This my son was lost and he's found. Kill the fatted calf. Come rejoice with me. In that same chapter of Luke 15, over and over, the message is, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Do you hear that? There's joy in heaven. And listen, that old prodigal son's brother, he wasn't happy when his brother repented. And he was cast out, shut out. There ought to be joy when you see a brother or sister in Christ that repents and turns from their sin. There's joy in heaven. And if you're in the kingdom of heaven, there'll be joy in your life. May God help us to repent ourselves. And may God help us to rejoice when others repent, is my prayer for Christ's sake.